Can I try again? Okay. Thank you very, very much for this wonderful presentation. I do have plenty of questions myself, but I'm afraid I have to ask the audience first for questions and short comments. How much time do we have? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? We should have at least 15 minutes. So, who are the people? Where are the people? Down.
Yeah, thank you for the inspiring presentations. I have one question to the last two presenters, especially. My name is Jan Donke, here from Berlin. And my question is, what role, apart from the facts that you already told us, did publicity, public pressure, and local government play? Because these didn't really appear in your presentations. And from my personal experience in Mediaspree Versenken, these actually play, these factors can play quite an important role, actually. So I'm interested in that.
Susan Feinstein, this question is addressed to Margaret, which is, in the last presentation, the connection was made very clearly between the popular movement and a national political party, although I'm not sure that the national political party recognizes that much the importance of this movement. But in your stages, Margaret, what's the relationship between even national coalitions and local action and actually the national electoral system and the party system?
So, John and Gihan, thanks for coming over here. Thanks for coming to Berlin. We're so grateful to you both for being here. So that was great. And I have all kinds of questions, but here's just one. Gihan, I think it was you who used the phrase "the local trap." Like, is the local a trap at some point in your presentation? And I've been kind of thinking about this ever since Roland Roth's presentation on the first day, where he talked a little bit about localism as well. And I'm just struggling with this. I don't think there's an answer, but I wonder what you guys think of this. I mean, is the notion of the right to the city, as powerful as it is, also potentially a local trap? Because one of the things that came out very strongly from both of your presentations was the ways in which the battles that we're fighting in the city are ultimately conditioned politically and indeed economically by all kinds of super local forces. So, I mean, I'm not suggesting we abandon the city as a site or as a stake of struggle in any sense. I mean, obviously there are localized struggles, but at the same time, I mean, even in terms of your organizing strategy that you outlined for us, Gihan, I mean, the first point that you made was about scale and the need, in order to really accomplish something more structural, to jump scale and move up to other scales, while at the same time, again, emphasizing that the very processes that you're contesting within the city are conditioned by super local forces. So I think there's a real tension here, which we have. I mean, this isn't just for John and Gihan. I think we have to grapple with it, because we're all interested in the city as like a strategic site for struggles and as a stake of struggles. But at the same time, I think again and again in so many of the presentations, and in a particularly powerful way in this discussion, it's clear that the city is not enough. And again, that poses questions about the notion of the right to the city as a strategic slogan, and also maybe as a theoretical rubric, insofar as the city itself is, again, I mean, it may open up the broader question of how do you conceptualize the city? Is it only local? And on it goes.
Okay, are there further questions?
I want to kind of add the level, perhaps. I was thinking in the last presentation with the video that we saw, there are people kind of in between the cars, and how the people inside the cars reacted to such kind of activism. And I don't know, maybe that transforms to how does the middle class react to that? Because I know from the Mediaspree demonstrations, I have experienced very strange middle class reactions. And then I don't know, maybe this is a question for Margaret Meyer, then how... or if this notion of the middle class within the question of social movements matters at all, or if that should
okay.
be addressed.
Thank you. It's Christian, it's Jackie, and you, and I think, okay, But then I have one too. And then you should have a chance.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I have to step in again on this question of theory and that slogan. This was a great final section with neue theory that arrived. But what I think is crucial in that whole engagement and in that whole mobilization is, I mean, how is the process of kind of constructing new theory out of that action? I mean, that would be incredibly interesting, I think, for all here. I mean, how is there any discussion, any reflection going on to construct something new out of this old concept of the right to the city? Or is it more just a kind of a very practical, instrumental use of the slogan?
Okay.
I wanted to respond to Neil and quickly to the last comment. They gave an example where there were global local connections. In LA, for example, one of the grand mega plans is to go from the Civic Center down to USC, wiping out lots of people, up to 100, well, a lot of people. That plan was being stopped because of the financial breakdown. Lo and behold, Dubai has stepped in and a Korean investment firm. So the issue of research and the flows of capital are extremely important for us at the local level to understand. And I think that that partly also gets to the issue of developing a new theory. I think it's extremely important to realize that the people who are at the local level are immigrants who either from their own life or because they've gone through college understand globalization. It's there. And so that having a conversation that would tie a local issue to a global issue is actually somewhat, I don't want to say somewhat easy, but the opportunity is there.
My name is Matthias Hein. I'm an architect and activist. I have two simple questions. It's really simple. The first one is, I really wonder how you finance yourself as community organizers, because this seems at least a problem for Berlin. Isn't it also an advantage, the neoliberal conditions that more and more since the 70s, let's say, responsibilities from the state were given back to private initiatives, and so that out of that community organizing became necessary but also kind of an industry? Second, on a lot of events, and I really appreciate that events, but on a lot of events like this, I'm missing the people from law and from economics, and I always question why don't we invite them much more? Because we are talking about alternative economics and laws and politics, but most people from these disciplines don't appear. Why is this? I guess people who work on theory also in economics and law. And the second is, I really missed also yesterday the notion of how to deal with the middle class, and I'm adding on the last question. Because yesterday it was all about that. At least for me, it seemed that neoliberalism seemed to be perceived as something which is outside of us. And where are in the right of the city movement, I'm not part of it, so I really don't know, but where are they, the discourses on the modes of self-governance and et cetera? Because I guess for good reasons, it was that at least in Germany, people more and more disbelieved in social democracy and all these institutions. And so this is not something which came from above. It came from within the left politics and its institutions. And we are all part of that doubts also. So how do we deal with this? And in this, I think it's really crucial to bring back, to bring much more stronger together community organizing, which is more or less, as I understand, not as a must left, but much more about the people, whatever they believe in. And so how do we bring together, let's say, a more critical leftist approach with being open to every kind of what people believe in.
So this will be the last question.
Yes, thanks for the very nice presentation, inspiring. Of course, the questions remain, but I want to relate to Neil Brenner's question, but to flip it. Rather than a local trap, maybe we are in the beginning of a process where the city is actually a metropolitan opportunity for liberation. And Henri Lefebvre himself would probably like this twist, because his provocation was against the oppressive state. And perhaps we don't need to deal so much with always worried about whether there is enough power in the city, but to create this power. This is what, this week, watch out on Tuesday, there's elections, local election in Israel. It's the first time that candidates run in Tel Aviv, and they claim that elections in Tel Aviv is more important than the Israeli elections, right? Because for housing, education, transport, and globalization, the mediation of globalization itself, the city is now more important for sections of the population, albeit also the middle classes, of course, than a state that it seems immobile, trapped, conservative. So maybe there is a chance there that you actually create a power base and change the formula, slowly but surely.
So I'll address a couple of the questions. On the election piece, or working with elected officials, I think there's a variety of mixed relationships. I'd say class, race, gender struggle goes on, reading of Palantis and all this, within the elected officials, that that we had a demonstration at the mayor's conference, and we were trying to push the mayors. And I think ultimately, as most cities are based on property taxes values have dropped dramatically, there's going to be a fiscal crisis. We think there's greater opportunities for working with some of the elected officials during the coming period, because they're going to want more money for programs. We want certain things. So I think there's some possibilities. We're hoping that's where we're trying to move. In terms of Anil's question, I would just give one example. I don't think it's necessarily a local trap. I think it could be a local trap if you just work locally, or if you stayed in the trap. But just on immigration, for example, well, on a national or global level, their transnational level, there's trade organizations, there's NAFTA, there's different treaties that devastate economies, force migration, and or wars that force migration, right? Then there's at a national policy level, the nation state sets immigration policy. So that's another set of demands. So again, how does our organizing relate to a broader social movement? It was the core of organizations like ours that mobilized 2 years ago several million people in the streets demanding new immigration policies. So I think there's a national sort of set of demands around immigration policy. And then locally, I think there's a local expression, which might be sanctuary cities having non-cooperation with immigration enforcement, creating greater access to local programs regardless of immigration status. So I think there's different levels of campaign and struggle, and sure, you can get trapped in any one of them, but I think it's actually trying to work at those multiple levels that we're trying to do. And in some cases, yeah, it's like the Willie Sutton quote, why do you rob banks? Well, that's where the money is. So it's like we would sort of need to look, certain national demands, it has to be national, that's where the money is.
So I'll start with a couple of things. One is, I think there was a comment on the first night around the role of the Global South and why are we looking at our movement. So I wanted to come back to that. I think it's an important question. And to clarify, in fact, we, almost everyone in the Alliance, actually looked to Latin America as our inspiration for what we could do in the United States and our responsibility to the United States in terms of building a social movement. Many of us have been part of the social forum process. A lot of activists have actually migrated and have been organizers in Central and South America. So that influence is there. And the real question was, when they were growing so much and we were still stagnant, what was our responsibility in the United States to actually pick up the torch and build a social movement in the United States? So we see ourselves not in isolation, but learning and trying to contribute to that. Second is that I think on the question of community organizing and consciousness in the processes, I think folks have to understand two things. What our organizations represent is a method and an organizing that's trying to move from practical struggles to actually bring out lessons and raise consciousness. So political education and popular education in almost every organization within the Alliance, both in terms of as a method of organizing and as a method of summarizing and evaluation, is there in every organization. So for us, we have a weekly series called The Circle of Consciousness, where we take practical struggles, try and relate it to national, transnational issues. We had a 10-part series on imperialism. We do a number of things that's trying to continue to connect it. And I think our strategies are growing in a constant attempt to bring left analysis and then up from the ground from our folks. And I think then that relates to then the method around which we're taking on this local transnational issue. And in fact, I think both of what you all said was true. Increasingly with neoliberalism in the United States, power was being devolved from the federal government to local and regional bodies. So there was, on the one hand, incredibly increased regional autonomy, but then at the same time, there was incredibly increased regional and city autonomy. There was similar bigger and bigger national and transnational players that were actually pulling the levers of that regional economy. So I think what it means is that the manifestation of transnational politics plays out and is decided at the local level, which becomes the point of contestation. But a lot of times in our attempts to try and take up those contests, it's not enough for us to just take it on at the local level. So I think in some ways the answer is both, and then the challenge is how do we do both well?
You should have a chance as well.
Well, actually, most of the questions have already been addressed. I could maybe add a little bit on the question around local trap, or what is or could be the relationship between the local scale and national and transnational scales, which also relates to the way Christian posed the question about what is really new and how could a new, newly to develop theory could, how could that be adequate to the contemporary situation? It seems to me that the novelty consists of the fact that urbanization is now global. So what does this mean? It means that the effects of globalization are manifest locally in cities. You basically said in many words the same thing. So movements struggling locally therefore also have now the opportunity to connect and link up with very similar struggles in all kinds of other places around the world where the same global forces are manifesting themselves in the global south in many ways, in much more brutal ways than in the Euro-North American core. And that is also a fact why it may be so difficult to organize in the so-called first world, or to have visible successes, like you were just reminding us that many American groups are looking to Latin America for innovative or maybe successful ways, or for how to imitate their successes. Why can't we in North America have the same, not even the same success of social fora as they have been spreading and flourishing around Europe? And that, I think, has to do with very particular, nationally specific mystifications where the U.S. is way ahead of everybody else because the market is so strong, and you have alluded to various of the other traditional reasons earlier. There's the Alinsky kind of organizing tradition in the U.S. There are such strong NGOs and the particular worldview with which they see their work. I alluded briefly to the international NGOs whose worldview is trickling down and is shaping our discourse around the right to the city as we speak. And I'm not so sure that it's a local, global scale kind of, like as if things are more highly politicized on local issues or more highly politicized on the global area. I think you get the spectrum everywhere. The issue is more around substantive questions. Do we, as most of these international NGOs that are so hegemonic in the charter debates, view these civil society actors or the civil society in general as being under attack by evil neoliberal forces, while civil society itself is conceived as this homogeneous, basically good city, if you will, when in fact in all our cities we do have actors, not just municipal governments, but lots of other important local actors that are implementing the interests of corporate global capital in the city. And so our task really consists to a great extent of exposing, as Peter said, as the first step of demystifying what seems to be one of the crucial mystifications of this era.
So I guess this is the last comment. I want to make two comments, and it goes back to what Peter started us out with on Thursday evening. First is looking at this moment, and I think it relates. I want to talk about the importance of the Obama campaign and the Obama moment in a way that leftists may actually miss. And I feel, you know, on the question of middle class and how middle class people relate to this type of activism, I think the central challenge there was, you know, that we found is how do middle class people relate to Black people in motion. Right, and there's just this, in all of the work in the United States, and I've seen this, the question of how race plays in relationship to class and then gender becomes central, particularly in the United States, but I think even at the level of our social movements in particular, but the level of theory, and that's significantly under-theorized, at least in the spaces here. What the Obama moment shows, I think, which was pretty amazing, is that he had to win over Iowa and Ohio and a bunch of places that were traditionally not only white middle class, which, you know, he won a significant support in, but white working class people who actually have seen race and low-income people as their primary enemy to their success. And so we think that there's a tremendous moment here. It doesn't mean it's amazing that given the race, class, and foreign policy politics in the United States, that Obama could even win 52%, right? Beyond the 47%, amongst that 52%, the question is, beyond the Obama campaign, how did those social forces, which were unleashed and directly took on the questions of race and foreign policy, how do we organize those and consolidate those into a movement that's not just about Obama, but that goes beyond that? But the opportunity of Obama was a watershed moment in actually opening those questions up, and it's this moment. Second, I think, my personal opinion in terms of the financial crisis, the place that politics is in right now, and the impending continued economic meltdown, I think we have a very short window to act. I think our window to act and take decisive action is small and could, you know, I think 1 to 3 years, but probably within the next year, that the next 20 years of what the policy is going to be set. I think for us as social movements, that means that list of things, there's a sense of urgency in moving on those that's beyond and faster than our usual process, right? That's what we're struggling with, is how do we move on this moment in those six ways at a rapid way to take advantage of the opportunity. I think there's a similar challenge to you all as academics, right? In questions of praxis, in questions of your effectiveness, if as academics the time for your analysis has now come full circle, then it can't stay in this room, one. And if it can't stay in this room, then where does it go? What are the forms of communication? What's the means of communication? What's the popular way to get these ideas in the only time in the last 20 years that Marxism and the left and a new society was possible, where are our ideas, not just in Antipode, but in the Time magazine? If you look at what Slater did and talked about, they did a report they got in Time magazine. We do a report and it goes in New Left Review, which is great, but it doesn't have the scale and impact
of on this moment on the masses and consciousness is being shaped at the moment. Secondly, there's a huge gap in our praxis. So, you know, people like Nick and Jackie and Peter, you know, is on a working group around public housing. But the level of which we actually need praxis and resources from the academic movement to move this thing, the gap is huge. So that's my cry and my demand I think that we had some ideas around things that could be done from the academic side and with praxis to actually build. So get your notebooks out. Here's the list. We think that a forum like this, but that's actually combined with social movements and academics, to do something like a Right to the City praxis school or democracy school would be very important to actually raise the level of both theory and practice to another level. It has to be done in a way that actually plays the strength of both, but we think is incredibly important. Two, we would support visiting scholars coming and seeing the work and what how the resistance and the work is playing out on neoliberalism on the ground. Third, the places where stuff has been really value added is where there's been applied research that actually moves campaigns and takes on these questions out of both theoretical and ground level, but that actually gives value added to moving the power relations on the ground. And then there was also an idea that we've been talking about with David Harvey around doing kind of a clearinghouse website where groups could post theoretical and other questions that they're having on the ground, that if we could have a way to then be able to have academics that are studying or can take those questions up, be able to, in much faster time, take up those questions to be able to inform the work that we're doing on the ground. To do all of that requires a level of infrastructure and organization on your part that we don't know is there now. Our current practice is working with individual people that we know, but it's pretty overwhelming with the other tasks that we have. So our call or our demand is to for the academics, the ones who understand or want to do this level of praxis, to organize yourselves to actually, in this moment, in this window, both to step up to your own tasks, but also to support the work that's happening on the ground.
So your final statement, Margit?
I think Gihan just gave us the agenda or part of the agenda for our round table, which is the final segment of this conference. So we don't need to discuss it now, but in 15 minutes.
So thank you very much, Margit, John, and Gihan.
As people walk out, this is just, I'm going to, I think the internet's working, I'm just going to put the what happened on the streets in Miami after the election.